राधामाधवा जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी। जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजनरञ्जन। जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजन रञ्जन। जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी। जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा श्रील प्रभुपदा जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय विश्वपाद परमहंस प्रवाचकाचार्य श्रोतदशर श्री श्रीमती श्रीवेणग्रेसे श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय विश्वपाद परमहंस प्रवाचकाचार्य श्रोतदशर श्री श्रीमत भक्ति सिद्धांत सर ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय आनंद कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय 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 श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल गौर श्री असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गौर श्री असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गौर श्री असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गौर श्री गुरु गौरंग ऑल गौर श्री शिला प्रभुपाद की जय हरे कृष्णा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑफ फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स वर्स 53 इंद्रियाणि मनस्युर्मौ वाची कारिकं मनः वाचं वर्ण समाम्नाये तमोंकारे स्वरे न्यसेत ओंकारं बिंदौ नादेतं तं तु प्राणे महत्यमुं इंद्रियाणि मनस्युर्मौ वाचि वैकारिकं मनः वाचं वर्ण समाम्नाये तमोंकारे स्वरे न्यसेत ओंकारं बिंदौ नादेतं तं तु प्राणे महत्यमुं इंद्रियाणि मनस्युर्मौ वाचि वैकारिकं मनः वाचं वर्ण समन्वाये तं ओंकारे स्वरे न्यसेत् ओंकारं बिंदौ नादेतं तं तु प्राणे महत्यमुं चंवर्ण समन्वाये तमोंकारे स्वरे न्यसेत ओंकारं बिंदौ नादेतं तं तु प्राणे महत्यमुं इंद्रियाणि मनस्युर्मौ वाचि वैकारिकं मनः वाचं वर्ण समाम्नाये तमोंकारे स्वरे न्यसेत ಬಿಂದವನಾದೇತಂ ತಮ್ದು ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಮಹತ್ಯಮೂಂ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಮನಸ್ಯೂರ್ಮೌ ವಾಚಿ ವೈಕಾರಿಕಂ ಮನಃ ವಾಜಂ ವರ್ಣ ಸಮಾನ್ವಾಯೇ ತಮೋಂಕಾರೇಶ್ವರೇ ನ್ಯಸೇತ್ ಓಂಕಾರಂ ಬಿಂದೌ ನಾದೇತಂ ತಮ್ ತು ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಮಹತ್ಯಮು. ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಮನಸ್ಯೂರ್ಮೌ ವಾಚಿ ವೈಕಾರಿಕಂ ಮನಃ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಮನಸ್ಯೂರ್ಮೌ ವಾಚಿ ವೈಕಾರಿಕಂ ಮನಃ ವಾಚಂ ವರ್ಣ ಸಮಾಮ್ನಾಯೇ ತಮೋಂಕಾರೇಶ್ವರೇ ನ್ಯಸೇದ ಓಂಕಾರಂ ಬಿಂದೌ ನಾದೇತಂ ತಂ ತು ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಮಹತ್ಯಮು. ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಮನಸ್ಯೂರ್ಮೌ ವಾಚಿ ವೈಕಾರಿಕಂ ಮನಃ ವಾಜಂ ವರ್ಣ ಸಮಾಮ್ನಾಯೇ ತಮೋಂಕಾರೇಶ್ವರೇ ನಿಸೇತ್ ಓಂಕಾರಂ ಬಿಂದೌ ನಾದೇತಂ ತಂ ತು ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಮಹತ್ಯಮು. ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸಿಬಿಲಿ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್. ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಗ್ಯಾದರಿಂಗ್. ಮನಸಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಊರ್ಮೌ ಇನ್ ದ ವೇವ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿಜೆಕ್ಷನ್. ವಾಚಿ ಇನ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ವೈಕಾರಿಕಂ ಇನ್ಫೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಚೇಂಜಸ್. ಮನಃ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್. ವಾಚಂ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ವರ್ಣ ಸಮಾಮ್ನಾಯೇ ಇನ್ ದ ಅಗ್ರಿಗೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಲ್ಫಬೆಟ್ಸ್. ತಮ್ ದಟ್ ಅಗ್ರಿಗೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಲ್ಫಬೆಟ್ಸ್. ಓಂಕಾರೇ in the concise form of Omkara. Swere in the vibration. Nyaset, one should give up. Omkaram, the concise sound vibration. Bindav in the point of Omkara. Nade in the sound vibration. Tam, that. Tam, that sound vibration. Tu, indeed. Prane, in the life air. Mahati, unto the supreme. Amum, the living entity. The mind is always agitated by waves of acceptance and rejection. Therefore, all the activities of the senses should be offered into the mind, which should be offered into one's words. Then one's words should be offered into the aggregate of all alphabets, which should be offered into the concise form Omkara. Omkara should be offered into the point Bindu, Bindu into the vibration of sound, and the vibration into the life air. Then the living entity, who is all that remains, should be placed in Brahman, the supreme. This is the process of sacrifice. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The mind is always agitated by acceptance and rejection, which are compared to mental waves that are constantly tossing. The living entity is floating in the waves of material existence because of his forgetfulness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung in his Gitavali, Miche Mayar Vashe Yacho Beshe Kacha Habu Dubu Bhai. My dear mind, under the influence of Maya, you are being carried away by the waves of rejection and acceptance. Simply take shelter of Krishna. Jiva Krishna Das, A Vishwas, Korletau Ar Dukhanai. If we simply regard the lotus feet of Krishna as our ultimate shelter, we shall be saved from all the waves of Maya, which are variously exhibited as mental and sensual activities and the agitation of rejection and acceptance. Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva pabibhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Therefore, if we simply place ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna by taking to Krishna consciousness and keeping always in touch with him by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we need not take much trouble in arranging to return to the spiritual world. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very easy. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalau, Nastyeva, 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 Gadiranyatha. Om Jnanatimiranthasya, Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarupyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhutair Mahatbhir Yaiva Puro Vibhu Nurmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solangrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Hare Krishna. Here we are in this chapter, instructions for civilized human beings. And in this particular verse, it is mentioned how to purify ourselves and how to go back home, back to Godhead. This is one of the essential points that's been discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and all other literature. Here specifically speaking about the mind. And the word used is Manasi Urmau. Urmi means waves. Urmi means waves. So this mind is compared to the waves, or in other words, the activities of the mind, the functions of the mind are compared to waves. So waves can go up and down, and we know huge waves can create havoc. Similarly, mind can create a lot of problems, especially when it is turbulent, when it is uncontrolled. And that is the specific scenario that is mentioned here. Manasi Urmo. And here, Srila Prabhupada comes to the point of what is this waves and what is this waves representing, and the top and bottom of this wave of the mind, what is there? One is about what? What are these two aspects of the mind? Sankalpa and Vikalpa. Acceptance and rejection. So to reject and to accept. That is the nature of the mind. So all that we do with our mind is either accept or reject. Of course, invariably we have thought process. But in conclusion, the mind is accepting or rejecting. Have you noticed that? You can think the activities of mind as series of acceptance and rejections. This is about the mind. We do that. Oh, that is good for me. And based on what do we accept and reject? Based on the conception of happiness or the conception of what is good for me or bad for me that we have cultivated. The conception that we have cultivated, based on that, we accept and reject. And that happens automatically. We don't need to do anything about it. That is the nature of the mind. It is a vritti. It is a real function of the mind. Assume, if we have some prasadam in front of us, do we accept and reject? Yes. We think, what is tasty? Isn't it? Oh, this is very bland. I need some spices. I don't want this. Isn't it? Accept or reject. That particular kind of food, I really like it. I need more and more and more. So that is acceptance. So we cannot say no. This is accepting and rejecting. So this is, in this way, we want to accept happiness and reject distress. This is the very nature of the mind, and that's how we continue our life. And in Krishna consciousness, of course, there is a huge difference. We come to the platform of not accepting and rejecting based on what we like or what we don't like. We add whom to the equation? Krishna. So simple. So what is liking for Krishna? What is the liking for the spiritual master? And then we again, the mind is functioning on the platform of acceptance and rejection. However, the center has changed. Isn't it? If you see Bhagavatam or if you see Bhagavad Gita, there are so many instructions about the mind. Because the real problem lies in the mind. Am I right? The software is a buggy. The software is buggy. We have a buggy software which creates a lot of problems. Externally we can be very good. The senses can be to some degree, everything is well maintained. And to some degree we can have the control senses. But immediately the mind is going to disturb us. And the senses are also disturbed. So this is where the mind, it is just like the software. Even if we try to fix the hardware problems, still the software will not get fixed. This is our problem, the software of our own mind. And it has many, many problems. Not just one problem, there are many different problems. So here we are talking about acceptance and rejection, which is part of thinking, feeling and willing. Am I right? Thinking. One of the functions of the mind is to think. Naturally, we think about so many different things. Yesterday in Prabhu's class, Sri Krishna Prabhu was mentioning about the number of thoughts. General average, they say about 50, 60,000 thoughts in one day for a normal human being. And Prabhu was equating that to Rajogun. And he was telling, if one is in Sattogun, it reduces to maybe 5 or 10,000. But still, we are dealing with so many thoughts. whatever it is, whichever guna we are in, still we are dealing with so many thoughts, thinking. And then we feel for it. So there are so many thoughts which are going on, but we start feeling something which we are getting attached to, depending on our false identification, depending on our false ego. In that thinking process, we can, in the, all over the thoughts, suddenly we can get attached to one thought. And then we can dwell into that particular thought to the degree that we feel for it. If you think about your favorite prasadam, suddenly you feel for it. You know, there are so many things coming in the mind, and suddenly if you like gulab jamun, you like pizza. You know, when you suddenly think about it, you feel for it. Means you start to experience the taste through the subtle senses in the mind. And then is willing, accepting, you know, I need it. So there is acceptance there. And if you don't like, the thoughts are not tasteful, then we do reject. So this is the nature of the mind, you know, thinking, feeling, willing. So the mind is going through all these processes. And not only that, the mind is carrying so many vasanas, so many samskaras, so many impressions. They are very, very strong. And they can be very much of an impediment to our bhakti. This is where we had to be very careful, because we are somehow or other trying to practice bhakti, and we already have some wealth in bhakti. We already have some treasures in bhakti. Whatever little taste we have in association with the devotees, in kirtan, in chanting, in prasadam, in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, this is our real wealth. So we need to identify, this is our real wealth. So when the mind can tell this and that, we need to preach to ourselves, we need to understand what do we have, what is our real wealth. This is our real wealth. So we may have only small quantity, but we need to identify that this is my real wealth. Then what happens? So we are carrying some wealth. So Raghunath Goswami explains in Manashiksha, very important instruction. He says, when we are carrying some wealth, then there are thieves, robbers, who are trying to steal what we have. So he compares enemies of the mind to highway robbers. Probably it's not a major problem in Australia. We don't see so many thievery happening when we are driving in highway. But there are countries where are there problems. There are so many thieves. I was speaking to some devotees in South Africa. I was telling, you know, some places, if there is a traffic signal, if there is red light, you are not supposed to stop. If there are no cars, just drive through. No speeding fine or no red light fine. Here we will get a fine for sure. There the aim is protection, because gangsters can come, show you the gun, off the car, and they take the car and go. It's a reality. In many places it's a reality. Highway robbers are a reality. And so we may think here we are very safe, no robbers, but there are robbers who are waiting to steal what we have. What we have obtained with lot of work. Isn't it true? We have put a lot of effort, because we have given up whatever a previous life, we can say. We have given up what we had before. Our sinful habits we have given up. We have put some efforts. And we have come to a point, chanting, associating with the devotees, even getting initiated. We have spent a lot of time in Krishna consciousness. So certainly we have wealth. We may not recognize a lot, but still they are there. Then what happens? Then the enemies of the mind, the highway robbers, they come and they start stealing away. Who are they? Starting with, what is the first one? Family. Okay, we are going deep. Can be. Actually, family is used. But who is the first highway robber? You must know. Lust, that's right. So, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Kamadi, starting from Kama.
All the acharyas mentioned this point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates on this point. Here, in this purport, we can see the writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it is starting from kama, lust. Meaning, we have so many desires. So in that, there can be family too. So many desires. And when they come strong in our mind, then our interest in bhakti will go down. And here in explanation, all the acharyas quotes the verses from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Dhyayato vishayan pumsa sangasteshu upajayate. Then sangat sanjayate kamam kamat lobho bajayate. Lobhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibhrama. Smriti vibhramat buddhinashat vinashyati. Finished. Everything is over. Starting from dhyayato. Meditating on objects of the senses. So here, Baladev Vidya Bhushan explained further that for a yogi, we are yogis, by the way. If we haven't recognized, we are yogis, we are bhakti yogis. So it's applicable to us. So specifically, bhakti, Baladev Vidya Bhushan says, yeah, for yogis, this is a great problem that a yogi, somehow or other, continues to meditate on or just experience all different kinds of temptations. Just they are sitting in the mind. And then what happens? Then we develop a strong attachment. And when there is strong attachment, we want it. We want to fulfill it. And if we cannot fulfill, what happens? Krodha, right? Krodha. So it is called, Krodha is known as Kamanuja. We have Ramanuja. Who is Ramanuja? It's Lakshman. Similarly, we have Kamanuja. Who is Kamanuja? Krodha. When our kama is not fulfilled. And if it get fulfilled, then what happens? Exactly, lobha. If it get fulfilled, then lobha. So, Acharya says that lobha, greed can humiliate us. Greed can humiliate us. Because we forget everything, we run after something. Material, and everyone thinks, what happened to this devotee? Supposed to be a nice devotee. Now, running after something, so material, and everyone can see, if you are in the association of the devotees. That is the point of association of the devotees, we'll disturb further. And then, if there is kama, krodha, lobha, and it is mentioned, one can have illusion and one can have buddhinasha, one can lose the intelligence. What happens if he loses the intelligence? Then one cannot discriminate. And when one cannot discriminate, and then there is no even interest in understanding Shastra. And then it is said, one goes back to more indulgence in sense gratification. When there is no discrimination, then what is left? Again, back to Sankalpa and Vikalpa. What is good for me materially? So it is mentioned, it is in a very awkward situation we are in. So we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. So these are the enemies of the mind. They are residing in the mind and they can come anytime. So it is mentioned anytime. Kamadi is mentioned starting from Kama Rupa. It's further explained Kama Rupa. Usually it's called Kama Rupa, means the form of lust. So it's not in one form. It can come in any form. Like a demon who can change the forms. The Kama can come in any form. This is the point. So we had to be very mindful how these robbers are coming to our mind when they are attacking, and we need to know what to do. That we'll discuss what to do. But we are clear, right? This happens all the time. And then our enthusiasm in bhakti goes down. Has it happened to anyone? Yes, when you are agitated, no interest. And then even the problem is, when we are in actual trouble, the usual mechanism is turn toward Krishna. But when we are down, what do? We want to look for a solace in material energy. Some people who still have material friends, they go back to them. This is the time. Some people, they go back to material indulgences and intoxication. And some people, nothing is there, then we have got the mobile phone. Start scrolling down. Some indulgence. Can you see? To distract from disturbances, one just try to distract by going through this video, that video. Then what happens? They are all distracting. They are creating again bad impressions instead of turning toward Krishna. So this is a solution. Turning towards Krishna. Then there is a solution. If you take that opportunity to pray to Krishna, then there is definitely an opportunity. So now, Raghunadas Goswami, he explains that, see, he actually gets very heavy. I'll just read a part of a verse from Manashiksha. He says, "O ruffian mind." Okay, we all have ruffian mind, right? If it's not fully controlled, then the mind is a ruffian. So he says, "O ruffian mind, why do you burn yourself and me?" See, very interesting statement. Why do you burn yourself, that is mind, why do you burn yourself and me, the soul, by bathing in the trickling urine of the great donkey of full-blown hypocrisy and duplicity? Can you imagine? Strong. This is very much applicable to practicing devotees, because we had to deal with it. What is hypocrisy? Yes, there is a disparity between external and internal. So this we can see. And duplicity, we say one thing and we do something else. And we can also cheat ourselves. We can cheat, try to cheat others. We can cheat ourselves. We think we are cheating everyone. We are cheating ourselves actually. So it is compared to what? Bathing in urine. You know, donkey. he says, this is what you are doing. For a practitioner of bhakti, it is very, very dangerous, isn't it? It's very, very dangerous to cultivate such kind of a thing. And so, he gives some, in fact, the acharyas, they give further commentary on this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains further, what are the characteristics? If for us, what comes to our mind when we are duplicitous or hypocritic? What kind of thing comes to our mind? So broadly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur classifies devotees into three. We will not get into the details of it. He classifies grihasthas into two categories. One category who follows varnashram strictly. They are devotees, they do varnashram strictly, and at the same time they are engaged in devotion service. And others who are not so serious about varnashram, but they are predominantly just worshipping Krishna. They are worshipping Krishna. Both are serious devotees. One is called Sonishta and Paranishta. And then the third category, those who are in the renounced order, Nirapeksha. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains further, what are the impediments that can come to our mind? Depending on ashram, depending on our social situation, what are the kind of thoughts that can derail our devotional service? So he says, in specifically, first starting from grihastha devotee, he says, indulging in sense gratification on the pretext of satisfying the Supreme God. One is actually satisfying one's own senses, but one thinks that I am actually pleasing Krishna. It's a heavy statement, you think about it. You know, even our own context, we can think about it, isn't it? Sometimes we say, you know, I have this. I need this possession. Why? Oh, it is for the service of Krishna. But it's not really for the service of Krishna. It is for my own pleasure. This is very serious. So, but this is the pretext. So we have to be reflective. We have to reflect on our own desires. Why really we want this? We can discuss with seniors. We can discuss with gurus. We can discuss with our mentors, right? So we know what's really going on in our mind. Then another thing he says, that serving rich materialistic people instead of serving nirapeksha devotees of the Lord. Instead of serving sadhus, one is more inclined to serving materialistic people. To give an example, sometimes in social connections and to gain material favors. We want to have very nice dealings, not just dealings. We want to serve and we want to have a closer relationship with materialistic people. Especially this can happen in grihastha life. It can be, you know, part of one may feel it's a need. So instead of developing closer relationship with the devotees, with the sadhus, one can tend to serve the materialist and one can actually try to have a closer relationship with materialistic people. And then what happens? One can be influenced by them. Can that happen? Yes, it happens. Oh, it is for a business deal. It's for a work requirement. But when those connections are going deeper, they are influencing us. It has happened to many devotees actually. You know, they get influenced by material connections because then one spend more time in those connections and they are influencing us in a bad way. And third, it is mentioned, accumulating more wealth than would ever be needed. It can be a problem because then one can be influenced by that. So this is, one has to be careful what is required. Because sometimes we may think it is for the service of the Lord, but when it comes to atyahara and prayasa, when it comes to over endeavor, it is naturally derailing our spiritual life. So Rupa Goswami very concisely present atyahara prayasasya. Atyahara, over endeavor. How do we know over endeavor? There is no quality time for our sadhana, there is no quality time for our seva. Then we know it is definitely over endeavor, and we have to be watchful. So when we go in the other path, then we can be very much influenced. Third one is, even Rupa Goswami has mentioned, you know, unnecessary reading too much. Here it is mentioned for as cult, instead of cultivating spiritual knowledge, one is teaching twisted logic and self-motivated speculation in the name of giving education. In other words, one is moving away from spending time in Shastra. We have desire to study so many things, isn't it? Sometimes, if we are intellectually oriented, we have desire to study, read so many things, and one can easily be swayed in that direction. Whereas your then there is no taste for Bhagavatam, isn't it? It's, bhakti is very interesting. Where we put our energy, we get the taste. You know, say if you start reading, simple an example, if you start watching all this Facebook, Insta, whatever small videos, clippets, if you start doing it, you develop taste for that. You feel like, you know, when there is a phone, naturally you feel like, take the phone and then watch. Isn't it? There is a pulling. And now, if you start reading newspaper, you develop that mundane taste. Feel like, oh, what happened today? Yes or no? What happened to the election? And what happened to this all intricate details, geopolitics? One gets into everything. And naturally, one tends to read. Now, if you apply the same principle in Bhagavatam, whenever we have time, we thinking about Bhagavatam, we are reading some verses from Bhagavatam, what's happening in Bhagavatam, then naturally the mind goes. So, wherever dhyayato vishayan pumsa, instead of vishaya, if you make it Krishna, then naturally we develop attraction for Krishna. See, it's a matter of where we are putting our energy. So where we are putting our mind. And that's why we need to develop habits and routine in which we have sufficient time to read Bhagavatam. We have sufficient time to hear Bhagavatam. We have sufficient time to chant quality rounds. So where we put our energy, depending on that, we develop taste. So it is up to us. That's where. And finally he says that, wearing the dress of materially disinterested renunciate in order to gain material prestige. You know, externally very renounced, but internally going through sense gratification. So, given the example of, you know, one is fasting day, not even nirjal, very strict, not even drinking a drop of water. And then go to Ganges. Take a dip in Ganges, but under the water, and when you are inside the water, drink water and come out. So this is considered externally we show something and inside drinking water. So this is a problem. And because of this, it is very difficult to make progress in bhakti. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, one has to be very, very careful about this. And also, he further explains that preferring the association of known devotees rather than Krishna conscious devotees. This happens, actually, don't think that this is just a statement. It happens to a devotee's life when one is going very low in one's Krishna consciousness. Feel like non-devotees, they understand us better. Devotees, they are just telling, you know, follow the regulatory principles, chant, do this service. They say, whatever I do, they say, you are in Maya. If you do that, that is in Maya. You know, so many things, you know, being very unrealistic. So rather, I should associate with who are realists, who are the non-devotees. They can understand what I am going through. So this is considered. So this happens when we are low in our Krishna consciousness, and so we had to be very careful. And then for renunciants, further explain that this is about the renunciant. Next point: thinking oneself as an advanced Vaishnava because one is wearing saffron or shaving the head or whatever, one thinks that I am more an advanced Vaishnava. Not necessary, because bhakti is not based on ashram. Then similarly, I am superior to others because of the cloth. Another, collecting more or wealth for food and clothing, not for what is required. One is collecting money more than what is required, and improperly associating with opposite sex in the name of spiritual practices. Very important. If one is a renunciant, one shouldn't associate with the opposite sex for pleasure. Not even words. One shouldn't even joke around. Not appropriate. One has to be very clear what one is doing. So in this way, and also staying with materialistic people with the expectation of receiving wealth rather than visiting Krishna's temple. So we can see so many ways mind can be swayed. Mind can be our enemy. So starting from the enemies of the mind, and all kind of duplicitous and, you know, hypocritic thoughts that we maintain and how we act in that way. And they are our enemies. So in this regard, for all the six enemies of the mind, Acharyas says what to do. They emphasize one very important point. They say that call out for the devotees for help. Call out the devotees for help. They say, we have to take shelter of the devotees. If we have all these problems still, if we have the association of the devotees, then devotees can pull us. If we are mostly associating with the devotees, if we go in a wrong path, they can help us. And their good qualities can rub off on us. So in this way, we need the association of the devotees. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that one should cry out. If we are actually seeing problems in our heart, first it is important to see problems in our heart, isn't it? Many times we just brush aside. It happens, brush aside. It's there, it's okay. But when we really see, these are my anartha, these are my problems, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, call out for help. Internally cry to the Lord. Cry to the devotees internally there, in the association, but cry out internally, please help me, I need help. So if you sincerely call out, then Krishna can help. So give the example of the killer of baka. So the duplicity, hypocrisy is considered like a baka. You know, baka demon? Who is baka? What demon is he? Crane demon, right? So Krishna opened the mouth, you know, he can just pull it. Similarly, the duplicious, Krishna can just pull it and he can break it. Similarly, he can kill. So specifically it is mentioned about the one who actually killed the baka demon. Pray to him, that's what's mentioned. Pray to the devotees, pray to the Supreme Lord, they can help us. And there is no other way. We cannot deal ourselves. Please understand, when there are these kind of anarthas, we cannot deal ourselves. We can take the corrective measures in terms of avoiding wrong association, doing the right things, but still the desires remain. And then we have to call out for the Lord. And if we sincerely call out for the Lord will help. Because we don't have the strength to remove ourselves. It's not possible. And that's why it is mentioned. So here, from Geetavali, it is mentioned, my dear mind, under the influence of Maya, you are being carried away by the waves of rejection and acceptance. Simply take shelter of Krishna. So, Radha Krishna Bol Bol, that's the song here Prabhupada is quoting, right? Radha Krishna Bol Bol. Chant Hare Krishna, and then Krishna will protect. And in this verse, what is the process that is given? There is a sequence is given. May not be directly applicable for us, but we can learn something from here. What is given? First, what to offer to what? What's the verse saying? Huh? No, that's not the beginning. Activities of the senses. Verse is telling activities of the senses should be offered to the mind. And then what is mentioned? Mind offered to words. Words offered to aggregate of alphabets. And aggregate of alphabets offered to Omkara. Omkara to the Bindu, Nada, the sound vibration. And that Nada offered to Prana, life air. Prana offered to the Supreme Lord. So in this way, this is a process mentioned. In other words, of course, we are not exactly following this. But here the principle is, from the grosser level, everything is offered to subtle, meaning the activities offered to the mind means control the material activities through the mind, and mind through the words, and ultimately what word is mentioned? Omkara. Bindu means the vibration of Omkara. So here again the process is through mantra chanting. Chanting of mantra, that is the point mentioned. And through mantra chanting, prana oneself is offered unto the Supreme Lord. And the same process we do by chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the same principle. So essentially, the principle is the same, that we offer our everything to chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we had to be prepared in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What we have to do when we have to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra? There also there is acceptance and rejections while chanting. Yes or no? So first, in chanting, we have to unplug ourselves. What is unplugging ourselves? If you want to have proper chanting, first we have to unplug ourselves. Because we have plugged into so many channels. And in so many channels, so many acceptance and rejections are going on. So we had to take some conscious endeavor in chanting properly. First thing is, keep away your mobile phone. That is the first step in chanting. If a mobile phone is next to you, you will be looking and you in acceptance and rejection. This call shall I take? This message has come. What should I do now? The first distraction is mobile phone. Then be in an environment where people are not chatting. We are here to chant, not to chat. Sometimes it happens, you know, to chant the, you know, there somebody's conversation is going on, come and sit right in the middle. Why? To chant. So this is for chanting or for chatting. So the external environment has to be clear to chant, and there shouldn't be external distractions. Then one can internally unplug. Is it right? Internally unplug means this is the time for chanting and it is not for anything else. And that's why there is chanting time. There is a reason for this. So chanting time, we don't need to think about other things. If thoughts are coming, this is my chanting time, and I can deal with this thought later. That's why there is chanting time. And then think that this is the process. That's why the importance of the holy name, glories of the holy names are so important, that we can mentally understand. We understand that, look, this is the time to chant. So, this is the most important activity. What is the first service to our spiritual master? Do you know what is the first service to our spiritual master? If you are initiated, what is the first service? Yeah, chanting proper 16 rounds. That is the first service to the spiritual master. And so, We need to do that properly. So that is the beginning. That is the beginning. And there are always challenges. Even in the first thing. And if we want to control our mind, as mentioned here, then we had to focus on our chanting. And if you do that with attention and consciously, then chanting will improve. And if you are doing unconscious chanting, it will not improve. Time will not just improve our chanting. You understand? So even if you have inattentive chanting for a very prolonged time, it will not become automatically attentive. One has to put effort. Have you noticed that? If you put effort, you get the reciprocation. So in bhakti, everything is like that. Ye yathama prabhatyante, tam stathaiva bhajamyam. We put our effort, then we get reciprocation. Many faults, if you have the right desire and if you are putting effort, it's not by our effort, we can see the mercy is much more. So one has to be very careful about it. And that's why in this, the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very easy. He is not telling all this omkar chanting and offering this to that. We don't even understand fully. So don't worry about it. Apply that in chanting. Because Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Namaiva Kevalam Kalo, Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatat Anyatha. There is no other way for us. So in that way, we can apply to this simple process. And we don't need to make it too complicated. Apply and then get the results. Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice presentation. So there are two types of bhaktis. One is called Bodhi Bhakti.
Yes.
And another is called Ragunurag Bhakti.
Yeah.
So I was thinking our childhood when we were surrounded by our mother and then our sisters, parents. And there was a very nice environment of bhakti. And we naturally developed this kind of akinness of devotion. And what you are saying, all this thing, this is, looks like more on Bodhi Bhakti, which comes and goes. It can come and it can go. You have to chant that many rounds, you have to do this, that. So what I am thinking that the elevated position of this bhakti, when we have, then our mind, soul, automatically purified. And we don't need to think about all these mundane things. I'm not sure I understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. So the thing is, yes, sadhana bhakti is classified into two. Sadhana, both are sadhana by the way. One is called vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Second one is raganuga sadhana bhakti. Now, vaidhi sadhana bhakti is what generally we are practicing. To start with, one has to be in vaidhi sadhana bhakti. What is vaidhi sadhana bhakti? Whether you feel like or not, chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Come to the temple. Follow the regulatory principle. It is not a question whether you like, do you feel like? Nobody is going to ask whether you feel like or not. If you ask, if I feel like I chant, means we know what kind of chanting is going to happen. So in Vaidhi, one must follow rules and regulations because the rules and regulations are to remind us of Krishna. It's helping us to think of Krishna. The essential rule of Vaidhi Bhakti is thinking of Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jaduchit sarva vidhi nishedhyoho etayoreva kinkara. All the rules and regulations are servant of one principle. Always think Krishna and never forget him. But two principles, both are same. So this is the point. And given that, what happens? One, start practicing. One, even in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one should think about Krishna. Then what is, Raganuga is very advanced. Raganuga, don't take Raganuga very cheaply. So if one has to come to Raganuga Sadhana, the minimum qualification is Nishta Bhakti. Means all the prominent anarthas are gone from the heart. Now we discussed about different anarthas. All these anarthas must be out of the heart. And then one has some taste in chanting. For example, if one is chanting, beginning to end, one can chant. And one is focused and there is taste for it. One is not distracted. So this is internal nishtha. There is external nishtha and there is internal nishtha. External nishtha is, we can see, 10 years, one devotee is doing the same service. 20 years, devotee is doing the same service. This is external nishtha, which is good. But external nishtha doesn't guarantee internal nishtha. Okay, it is some symptom of internal nishtha, but it doesn't guarantee. So the internal nishtha or steadiness is very important. And that's where, for that, anarthas must be gone. You see? And only on that platform, one can even think about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So it is very advanced. Yes, it is a solution. But to get to there, one has to deal with the problems that we have discussed. One has to deal with that. For that, one has to cry out for Krishna. So in all bhakti, the principle is always remember Krishna and never forget him. But one, in the Vaidhi, we have the help of rules and regulations. So it is like the training wheel of the bicycle. If you try to fall, then the training wheel will keep you stable. That's the rules. So if you feel like not doing it, rules will tell, okay, you have to chant, then you will chant. But in Raganuga, after you know how to ride the bike, then you just go. You don't need the training wheel. But that is more advanced. So we have to take our steps towards that. But we cannot jump. It will take time. Make sense? Yeah. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class.
Thank you.
Prabhu, you mentioned how like the highway robbers in our devotional service progress, the enemies of the mind, lust and anger, they try to steal our devotional service, like progress. But we see in Bhagavad Gita 2.40, Lord Krishna says that the spiritual progress is never lost. It is always with us. And we see in the material, we can see, and that's how we differentiate between the material wealth and the spiritual wealth. The material wealth can be stolen, but the spiritual wealth stays with us. So how can we understand?
Yeah, it's a good question, because Krishna explains that. That's what I'm doing. Krishna explains that neha bhikramanashosi pratyavayo na vidyate. So once we develop bhakti, we will not lose it. But here we can see that the highway robbers are coming and they're taking away. So how can we understand this? So the point is, yes, we may have developed some bhakti, and when the highway robbers come, what happens is they steal away all the enthusiasm. So whatever benefit we get from what we have performed in bhakti, that we will get for sure. No one can take away that, isn't it? Whatever chanting we have done, whatever service we have done, we get the complete benefit for that. That is always there. You understand? Like Ajamil's chanting. He did so many things, but that one chanting, he got the benefit. Yes, so the benefit of bhakti that we do, that we will not lose. It will be there eternally. Even if, as Prabhupada explains, if we take a hammer and if you need, a nail, if you just nail it with a hammer, even just one hit in Krishna's service, Krishna eternally remembers that. Can you imagine? Just one nail in service of Krishna. Eternally Krishna remembers that. So this is the mercy of Krishna. But at the same time, if we get into sense gratification, we do some bhakti, and when you get sense gratification, what happens? The desire to perform bhakti we lose. And then we get into sense gratificatory activities. So the point is simple. Where we put our effort, we develop taste there. If you just start reading Prabhupada's books, and no matter what, I will, at least whatever, half an hour, 15 minutes, 1 hour, you start reading, I will do it. Or whenever I get time, I'll start reading. I have a minimum quota, plus whenever I get time, I will just read Prabhupada's books. If you make that habit, you just wait for a week or two, naturally you feel like doing it. This is a habit energy, and then you will actually develop taste. Similarly, you take the phone and watch whatever video here or there, and if you do that for a week, done. we feel like doing the same thing again. So it is where we put our energy. So it is in our choice. We can do it. We can make a difference. So don't think that we cannot make a difference. So it's in our hands. So in other words, the benefit of bhakti, whatever we have performed, we will never lose. But taste of bhakti, we can lose. Why? We are developing other taste. We can only have one taste. Either this or that. Okay? Any other question? Yes, Madhuji. Thank you. Can you turn on? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. And my question will be about sankalpa and vikalpa. You mentioned it's in material world. We have desires. We like this, we don't like that. But can that sankalpa and vikalpa creep in the devotional service?
Yes.
Like, I like this, I don't like that. I like that place, I don't like that place, which is a holy place. Or I am attached to this temple and I don't want to go to the other temple. Could it be like that? And how to deal with that if it happens?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll explain two aspects of sankalpa vikalpa in spiritual life. One, I already explained. One is, instead of what I like, we do focus on what Guru likes, what Prabhupada likes, what Krishna likes. So that is one way of using sankalpa and vikalpa, because that we do. Many times actually in devotional life, we do things which is good for, which is pleasing to the spiritual master. It may not be pleasing for us immediately. For our senses, there can be hard work, but we do it anyway because it is pleasing to the spiritual master. And we avoid certain things. We can be very much tempted to do certain things, but we think about our spiritual master. We think, you know, what will our spiritual master think when one will not do it? Can you see? So this is sankalpa vikalpa in spiritual life. Then when it comes to your question, is more towards, we may have our preferences. So some devotees want to associate with this temple. Some devotees want to be associated with some other temple in some other part of Australia. They are actually personal choice. That is personal choice. However, we have to make sure that those choices and those desires are not tinted with material desires. It has to be a spiritual desire. One may desire to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. That is one's personal choice. One may desire to spend more time in Vrindavan. Some devotees know, I want to be in Mayapur. That is okay. There is no problem. That is our spiritual choices. No problem. Some people may read more Bhagavatam. Some people may read more Chaitanya Charitamrita. But one is not accepting and rejecting. You see, if you assume, I want to live in Vrindavan, not in Mayapur. Does that mean that I am rejecting Mayapur? No, it is only a preference of where I want to live. One knows the glories of Mayapur and accepts and glorifies Mayapur and visits Mayapur also. You understand? So it is not exactly rejecting. It is preference. And in that, we may take guidance of the devotee, spiritual master, etc. in our spiritual choices too. Right? Because even the services, it's not that we can do what we want to do. That is another problem. Sometimes we had to do services which we don't want to do, because that is a need, right? That is very important in spiritual life. It's not that we can do always what we want to do. Something we may not want, we may want to do. Something we may not want to do, but we had to do because that's the need. So we had to see them clearly in different contexts. Make sense? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Any other question? Okay. Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samveda Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.